For more than two decades, we've been educating our listeners about financial topics that are most important to you. Do you have enough money to retire? How will you keep from running out of money? What's your plan for managing market risk? What about taxes, inflation, and health care? Each week, we talk with an advisor at Lucia Capital Group about these issues and more. This is Managing Your Financial Future. Thank you, and thank me, and thanks, Professor Plum. I'm going to give you top billing today. I didn't even say who I am. For brand new listeners, they're like, who's this guy talking?
Welcome with us, John Dean. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. You're going to say thank you for hosting? Is that the deal?
Well, thank you for hosting, because without you, this isn't happening.
No, it doesn't.
Because I'm
really
not going to host. I don't know how to do this stuff. I don't know what I know how to push a lot of buttons, at least I'm told that. But yeah. Not those on that machine.
No, I'm sitting in front of a giant control board here with a lot of lights. And this is where I grew up. This is what I grew up. I cut my teeth on these control boards, you know, way back in my late teens, which is just so long
before
ago.
TV.
almost. I'm Johnny Dean, your podcast host, Professor Rick Plum. Not a real professor.
No, not a real one. It's the name that somebody gave me decades ago, and it stuck.
It did. You are a certified financial planner professional, a CFP professional.
Yep.
And we're happy to have you here because, boy, I tell you what, today's topic has to do with something called blending buckets. Now, as I was prepping for this, we've alluded to blending buckets in various discussions about it, but we've never really devoted a podcast to it. And the reason I wanted to do that was because as we've been talking about different forms of the bucket strategy and how you put things together, I thought, well, you know, a lot of this has to do, a good portion of buckets, if you want to do it right, has to do with management, tax management, because taxes are when you're taking an income from somewhere.
Well, a good part of planning, especially for retirement planning, is understanding the expenses that you're going to face.
Yeah.
And one of those expenses that can somewhat feel like it's getting out of control are taxes. The taxes are an expense to a retiree. And so what is the best way to manage those taxes throughout our retirement and maybe even ultimately through the survivor years?
Generally, and not everybody, but in general, people will have some personal money once they're, you know, time to retire.
Right.
They've got some personal money, brokerage account kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
bank accounts and all that. They've got maybe some Roth money, potentially.
Correct.
And many of them have, we'll say IRA, 401k retirement account money.
Tax-deferred retirement accounts.
Yes, meaning
subject to required minimum distributions at some point.
Yes, and no matter what, when you take money out of those accounts, you or somebody is going to be paying taxes on that.
Right.
There's no way around taxes on an IRA for a 401k, as far as you know, right? For somebody.
Well, you could leave it to 1,000 different beneficiaries that have no income. And let them stretch it out over 10 years.
Well,
and hope they don't have any
true.
Income.
True. Their tax, they still have a tax, but the tax would be zero.
Right, I mean, potentially.
Yeah, but I guess you could leave it to a charity.
The distribution from a 401k, a traditional 401k, a profit sharing plan, retirement plan at work, whatever kind they have put up, SEP, you know, IRA, is a taxable event. Now, to what extent you have to pay taxes on it depends on what other income you may or may not have. So, yes, it is a taxable distribution.
Yes. And unlike, this is for retirement accounts, unlike personal money, if you own some stocks and you've owned them for years with a lot of gain, if you die and you pass them on to a beneficiary, there is, in many cases, a step up in basis.
For the beneficiary, yes. But the interest, the dividends, somebody's going to pay tax on those as they're earned. Whether you spend them or reinvest them, it's taxed as you earn it.
So,
in a personal account.
So you can set up a bucket strategy and just say, okay, take some money out of this account. Take some money out of that account. But you got to understand that in some cases there's going to be taxes. In some cases there may not be taxes.
And when we talk about managing taxes, managing that expense, it doesn't necessarily mean driving it to zero today or this year, because that may not be the best thing for you. We see this from time to time where somebody does have a large personal investment account and they've got a decent size IRA account, and they read all about, well, you know, you should never take money out of your IRA until you're forced to at age 73. In a couple of years, it'll be age 75, but for right now, 73. And that way, if I have, call it $500,000 in I've got my proverbial million-dollar portfolio, yeah, right? Because we seem to always use $1 million because it's nice, easy math. $500,000 of it is in personal money. $500,000 is in IRA money. And you take the $500,000 that's in your personal account, you put it into a bank account that's earning, heck, even if it's earning 5%, you know, what's that, $25,000 of interest?
Yeah.
So I can live off that $500,000. And let's say I want to take, you know, $60,000, $70,000, call it $70,000 a year out of it.
Out of your entire portfolio.
Out of my whole portfolio, which is a bit extreme. Let's make it 60,000. Okay. You know, 6% distribution. Still a little on the high side, but, you know, yeah. So I'm taking $60,000 out of my $50,000 or out of my $500,000 personal portfolio. Maybe I'm 63 and I'm retired and I just need this money over and above the Social Security I'm receiving, living comfortable. But how much in taxes am I paying? I took $60,000 out of that bank account. It earned just under $25,000. And assuming that's the only income I have, maybe, how much in taxes did I pay? Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Well, and who's going to be able to figure that out?
But because I have this married couple has the standard deduction that's more than $25,000, the interest that I'm earning isn't enough to bring me up to the point where I'm actually paying taxes. So I'm being zero taxes. I'm living fat, dumb, and happy.
If that's the only income you have. That's,
and yeah. I didn't take anything out of my IRAs. I'm only 63, yeah. 64. I got plenty. You know, I'm living fat, dumb, and happy with zero income taxes for a while. And so but then unfortunately, that other $500,000 in my IRA now grows to $1 million over the next 10 years or so.
That's a good thing, but.
Well, you know, that's only a 7% rate of return, actually, which it'll do sometimes. But that now I'm taking my Social Security, I'm taking other things. And so I've got a lot more income, and I'm going to pay taxes on 85% of my Social Security and the required minimum distribution of at least $40,000 a year for the rest of my life. And then, you know, so my taxes went from zero to a big number.
So you didn't manage taxes very well
No.
at age 63. By the time you're 73 or whenever you're...
Right. So when we talk about managing your taxes, obviously the first thing on a bucket strategy to determine how much money needs to be in the different types of investments, the allocation, how much in bucket number one, the safe, stable investments that we can draw down principal and interest over the 6-7 year period of time that bucket number one is designed for.
You're saying how much money,
the dollar amount,
never mind where it
Forget
comes
the account
from yet.
Type.
So you got a million, let's put this on. You got $1 million and you need 60,000 a year, a little.
So as you need 380,000 bucks, give or take.
Yeah. In that bucket number
I said,
one.
60,000 is what we're doing now. Because we know we're going to get some Social Security later on.
Right. Okay. All right. Yeah, 6%, but okay, 6%.
6% for a 63-year-old is a little high, but we know it's not going to be 6% forever.
So how much do you need in bucket one in this case?
I don't know. Call it 375,000 bucks.
Okay. 375,000 bucks in bucket number one. Now, you're not saying what...
IRA, Roth IRA.
We're not saying that yet.
Personal money.
We just determined that.
We need to have that much money there. Now, there is some wiggle room or some give and take in there, because depending upon how much in... Remember, the idea is we have to pull out enough money to pay for all of our expenses, and taxes are one of our expenses. We haven't addressed taxes yet, so this number could change depending upon how much we're taking from different sources, because we have to provide money to pay all of the expenses, taxes being one of the expenses.
Yeah, so if I need $60,000 a year net, I'm going to need to put...
If I take it all from my personal account, I don't need to account for taxes.
Not yet.
But if I am taking some of it from the IRA, well, depending on how much, I still may not need to put any money in taxes. Or maybe I'll use the 10% bracket. I know that I can use up to the 10% bracket for a married couple and only pay, you know, $2,000 in taxes, but maybe I'm getting $60,000 in overall income from a combination of IRA and personal money. And paying $2,000 in taxes, 10% on the first $20,000, give or take, of taxable income that I
was told there was going to be no math in this particular episode.
Well, you were told wrong now, weren't you?
Well, they were wrong then, weren't they?
But it all comes down to by doing what we call blending. Now,
the buckets
tells us how much money in general goes into bucket one, two, and three. Blending or asset location. Allocation first. Allocation tells me the investments I'm going to be using, the types of investments in general terms. Asset location tells me which accounts do I use to fund bucket number one, bucket two, bucket three, like protected income, alternatives and things of that nature. Where do I put my IRA? Where do I put my Roth IRA? Where do I put my personal investments? And that comes down to, what are we trying to accomplish from a tax standpoint? And so how much income are we going to draw from the IRA, from the personal account, and the Roth IRA? Now, the Roth IRA is a wild card because they're vastly different values across the spectrum of individuals. The reality is most of the people we see, the majority of the money is in tax-deferred accounts. They may have some third, maybe up to a half of their money in personal investments. But for the most part, we don't see very large IRAs. Maybe you've got $1 million and 30,000 of it's in a Roth IRA.
You're saying you don't see very large Roth IRAs?
Roth IRAs, excuse me. All right. I misspoke that. I'm sorry. Right. But every once in a while, we'll run across somebody, a nice lady up in the Bay Area. She's got a nice portfolio, not quite $1 million. And all of it is in Roth.
Is it because she did conversions? Or, I mean, yep. you can't contribute your way up to
$800,000.
You know? You've only had 25 years to do it.
Not unless you're Mitt Romney, but he did his in his IRA. But
yeah.
She did some conversions over the years, and then she spent her traditional IRA. And all she has left is Roth IRA. So she doesn't have to blend nothing because she's got tax-free income, but she had to pay taxes to get the money in there. But we don't see that very often.
So you usually see people with
probably 50% or more tax deferred.
And that's probably from their 401k.
401k rollover, retirement plan.
Very common.
SEPs, all that kind of different types of retirement plans. And then 30, 40% of personal money. And then another maybe 10%
of Roth.
Yeah. Now, once you get above net worth of $5 million or more of investable assets, you see much larger personal investment accounts. So the people that have $1 million to $2 million, they're going to have probably 70-80% or more of it in IRA type, traditional IRA money.
Money they're going to have to pay taxes on.
Right. When you get above that, get into the higher net worth individuals, they're going to have more personal money because it came from real estate, from the sale of a business. That they couldn't sock away enough money into retirement accounts, so they've saved personally.
Okay.
They ended up with a lot of personal money. It doesn't mean that they don't have that million or 2 million in IRA. They still have the required minimum distributions. So we just have to look at it differently and usually somebody that has that higher net worth has a higher income need.
So when we talk about blending buckets, you've already determined in our example we did a few minutes ago.
Basically how much bucket goes into money goes into bucket one.
You're gonna need 300
about 375.
375 in bucket one. And you're saying, okay, now you've got some money in, 401ks, call it tax-deferred money. You've got some personal money, and you got maybe a little bit of Roth. So now you got to say, how much of this personal money am I going to put in bucket one?
How much of the income that I'm going to be taking, how much of the need that I'm going to be distributing each year from the buckets do I want to have from a tax-free source? How much from a taxable source, and how much from a personal investment source where I'm getting taxed on it, whether I take the money out or not.
Yeah.
And so I have to account for what are these personal investments expected to earn, whether I take the money or not. Remember, if I have, going back to the first example, I have $500,000 in a personal account. Whether I take any distributions of that or not, whatever it earns, I'm being taxed on. Even if it's being fully reinvested, I'm being taxed on whatever the realized earnings are, the interest, the dividends, realized capital gains. I'm being taxed on it whether I take it and spend it or not. So I have to at least make an assumption of, well, I know about what the interest is going to be because I know what is interest bearing in there. The hard part of the capital gains, if you have a large personal investment, anticipating capital gains and capital gain distributions. And it's much harder to anticipate when you're using mutual funds.
Because you don't have any idea,
you're
really
not sure what that mutual fund manager is going to have to do when they manage that portfolio.
Because they're selling and...
or they're buying and selling every day.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, what we have seen with mutual funds are that when we have a big downturn in the market, like we had in 2022, that was a good downturn, not a large, large downturn. But back in 2008, 2009, where we saw a very large downturn, 2000, 2001, 2002, very large downturns. A lot of people, a lot of investors panic and they sell. Well, where's a mutual fund come up with the money to sell, to redeem the shares to that individual? They have to sell the assets they've been holding for a long time. And even though the market's down, it may still be at a positive position from what they paid
for. It kicks off a capital gain
to all the people that don't sell. At the end of the year, your market may be down 10 or 20%, and you get a capital gain distribution for that year. So, a little salt in that wound.
Well, all right.
So we have to make assumptions on what the personal portfolio is going to create in a taxable event. But how do we know? Wait, so we're looking at how much money can we have, A, first off, without affecting Social Security?
Is there the taxability of Social Security?
How much can we have and stay in the 10%, the 12%, the 22% bracket? How much can we have without creating a tax on capital gains? How much can we have without going up too high and affecting the IRMA, the income-related monthly adjustment amount for Medicare? How much can we have without creating a net investment income tax on the interest, dividends, and capital gains that I'm realizing through these other areas?
These are all things you got to do.
There's levels, and each level has another time bomb waiting for you at the next door. You just don't know how. So how do we go right up to that door without triggering the next bomb on the list?
You see, here is something we're presenting folks listening here with a situation that I think a lot of people don't recognize will be a problem until they're actually faced with it. You know, they might retire and they've got a certain amount, again, money in their 401k, whatever, I'll say. They got personal money and a little bit of Roth. And so they say, okay, I know how much I need. And I've done a little bit of research and I think I can put, you know, I need $60,000 a year. So for the next 7 years, let's say I need $420,000. I don't know, making that up. So I know that I'm going to put that in my bucket one. But they've got now they know how much to put in. But now they're going to say,
half of that 60 from the IRA and half of it from the personal account?
Exactly. They're saying, well, I've got a certain amount of my 401k. I got some Roth here, but I got personal. Where am I taking this money from? And this is where blending
the income stream to get a desired outcome.
Because you say, well, wait a minute. If I took it all out of my 401k, boy, that's going to be a big tax bill potentially.
Or maybe not.
Right.
Maybe
okay.
Maybe it's a tax bill. So I have a choice. I can take it all out of my personal account and avoid taxes altogether. Or I can take it all out of my IRA and have to pay some taxes. But you know what? In some cases, that's better than doing it the other way, because maybe you're postponing your Social Security. Maybe you're postponing taking your pension or other things. Or maybe you're going to inherit some money down the line that is going to be taxable to you because it's annuity or something. So everybody's situation is slightly different. And so we have to look at what is the best use of the money. And paying some taxes today may not be the worst thing that can happen, especially if you can do so at an advantageous bracket compared to what's going to happen in the future. We see this where people stay very low on their taxes for a little while until maybe RMDs kick in. It used to be that RMDs and age 70 required Social Security kicked in about the same time. So people went from having a very low tax bracket to a very high tax bracket. Now we've got a staged, RMDs don't start until 73, maybe later if you're born in 1960 or later.
Right.
So, but there's also, can I use the tax brackets to my advantage? Maybe I want to take some more out. Maybe my Social Security, I'm taking one of the two individual Social Security, which is relatively low, taking the lower one first, and I'm going to pay, my Social Security is going to be subject to taxation, or 85% of it's going to be taxable anyway. So now I'm back into a true 12% bracket. I can take more money out in some cases and be in a true 12% bracket. Whether I spend that or convert it to Roth, that helps me in the future. I'm probably never going to see a lower than 12% bracket in my future ever again. So let's use that bracket to our advantage.
Yeah.
Assuming you have it. And it may be that you're in the 22, and the 22 up to the IRMA limit is where you want to live, and do so because you're never going to be in a lower bracket. And if you're married and one of you passes, the survivor will be in a higher bracket. And so at that point, it'd be better to have more Roth. And so using the brackets today, building up Roth accounts for either yourself as a married couple or the survivor in the future can make the overall tax management much more palatable.
I know we're throwing around a lot of terms, and I know you're throwing around a lot of numbers and situations, but this is exactly, I think a lot of people would just say, okay, well, I know I can take it out of my personal account, and look, it didn't even affect my taxes.
It reduced my taxes.
So Exactly. So, heck, forget the IRA.
I went from the 10% bracket down to the 0% bracket.
Because I'm taking, look, okay, I'm going to start taking this now.
Maybe 10% is what you should be paying so that you can avoid a 12 or 22 yeah. or a 15 or 25 if the rates sunset in a couple of years. In the not too distant future.
This is the problem that I think people have when they're trying to do all this stuff on their own. This is an issue that is very easy to overlook because you say, well, right now it sure looks good. I'm not paying taxes. I must be doing something right. But as you said, Professor Plum, you know, at some point you're going to have required minimum distributions
Maybe.
Potentially coming up. Well, if you reach well, age.
We need to be able to look at that. And look at the big picture, not just the little, you know, the myopic window of this year. Let's look at the big picture of this year, next year, the following years. What's going to happen as time goes along? What is the most efficient use of the money?
Yeah, because you could just throw caution to the wind and say, I'm just going to pick something. But what could wind up happening is you wound up paying 10% more in taxes than you should have, or 20% more in taxes than you right. We're actually required to over a long period of time.
And, you know, what sounds, I remember back way, let's go in our way back machine to 1998 okay. when Roths first became available.
Yeah.
Now your income had to be under $100,000, not including the conversion, to be able to do a Roth conversion back then. But I remember somebody who did a 600 and oh, you could stretch the
four years
distribution over 4 years.
Right. So you could pay a quarter of the taxes today.
You showed the conversion as a quarter taxable yeah. in each year. It was, you know, and so like I saw somebody do a $600,000 conversion in 1998. What that meant was that they were going to show $150,000 of taxable event in 99, 2000, 2001, and 2002. And they thought, this is great. The market's going up at 20% a year. The market's on fire. It's doing great. So they unfortunately converted $600,000, and they're going to pay taxes on $150,000 over and above what they're already paying taxes on for their regular income for the next 4 years. And they were dot-com heavy.
And
their $600,000 did real well for a year and then turned into less than $100,000. And they were still paying taxes on it 3 years later, 4 years later, when they didn't even have the money anymore. We have to look at what's happening and also look at how we're investing to make sure that we're not just trying to utilize the taxes in the most efficient manner, but look at how we're investing the money to make sure that we don't screw ourselves up at the same time. That was a screw up. And maybe yeah. that was a bit aggressive, but things were new. I mean, hey, Roths were brand new back then. And they gave us the ability to stretch it.
I think we could contribute up to $2,000.
$2,000 annual limit, yes, back then.
But, and there was an income
well, there's always been an income limit for
contributions. I don't remember what it was.
It was depending on whether you're married, filing, had a household, single.
Well, you know, the idea of
and Roth, we still have those limits.
You do. That's true. The idea of the Roth really opened up some avenues for planning, did it not?
Right.
When it came around.
And the Roth is a great one. And people will say, "Well, how do I blend my Roth into this mix?" Well, how big is your Roth? Your Roth is $30,000. You need 60 a year. We're really not going to be able to blend it very much and get any use out of it. So let's take that and invest it for the future so the survivor, your heirs, have something tax-free. On the other hand, maybe you have a $400,000 Roth out of that proverbial $1 million. Okay, now that can add something. How do you want to utilize that income? Do you want to grow it for the survivor? What is the best use of that tax-deferred free money going down the line? Is it best used for you to create some income? And at that point, that does have an impact on the cash flow that you're creating for yourself, because maybe you're taking, you know, a third from Roth, a third from personal, and a third from your IRAs. That creates a very, you know, still the whole distribution you want, but a whole lot less taxes. Or do you take more from the Roth? I mean, having the Roth of a reasonable amount gives you opportunity that makes what we were talking about before even more complicated, but more fun.
How do you, I got to ask you
but
this.
At times though, you say, well, you're right. I don't have a big Roth. Well, maybe we can use the tax brackets to your advantage to create a bigger Roth for the future. Let's use up that 12% bracket, or let's use up more of the bracket you're already in that you're never going to not be in, except for going higher. and use Roth conversions now to reduce your RMDs in the future, to reduce the taxable event that's going to happen to you in the future, and do some Roth conversions can be a great tool.
You know, there are almost an infinite number of different scenarios.
Oh, yes.
That
everybody has. Everybody is different, and everybody has multiple scenarios.
How do you do this for people? I mean, it seems to me, as I'm just sitting here, because I don't do the advising stuff. I do this stuff. I talk.
You punch the buttons on that machine.
I understand how it works, of course, in the abstract. But you actually have to go in as a Professor Plum, as an advisor, and determine all this stuff. I mean, to me, it's the amount of work involved. Is it a lot of work, or have you just done it long enough where you can kind of glide through and know that if I do this here, here's what's going to happen in the end?
How do you determine
what works over may time, work
you,
best?
You, over time, you get a lot of that. You're looking for certain things. You're looking for the interrelationship between different things. I was talking to a young person just starting off in the business, and they showed me somebody's tax return. I was saying, okay, well, look for this. And I said, well, they're self-employed, so maybe they can do. Yeah. They haven't filed their tax return yet, so they can do it. They want to save some tax money. I see they did an IRA, but they probably can do a. They should be able to do a SEP because they said they wanted to save a bunch of money. They said, well, how do you know they're self-employed? I said, well, because you look at this line, this is self-employed, and so you know what you're looking for after 100 years of doing this.
Okay, so it's helpful to have that.
But it's still nice to have somebody else in the office here who knows this stuff as well. Another set of eyes go through it and look at it and say, okay, did I miss something? Because there's a lot on there.
You know, I liken this to a football team, a quarterback, you know, who acts much as in many ways as an advisor. You know, you plan something in the huddle. You say, okay, here's what we know our goal is. We know what we need to do. And they get up to the line and they say, well, wait a minute, different defense. I'm going to have to make a read, and I got 10 seconds to do it.
Well, I don't limit myself to 10 seconds.
No, but, I understand that. But you know, you have to know, the quarterback has to know what's coming from the other side, and they have to know how to react and how to change it. And I see the advising part of this as much the same way. Now, you don't have to have 10 seconds, but I mean, you can't take 6 months and do it. You've got to kind of be able to read what the person has, know what their goals are, and then come up with something that you believe will work based on the information you have.
Exactly. And then potentially have some contingency plans on the outside just in case Congress changes things.
Well, that's it. And so that's why I say if somebody's trying to do this themselves, I understand. I hope this episode hasn't been too complicated. But what I wanted to highlight is...
Well, taxes are complicated. And a lot of people, when they hear the word taxes, they just shut off, unfortunately. And it's unfortunate that we have to know them, at least to some degree. You don't have to be a tax preparer. You don't have to know every line item, but you should have an idea. And I've asked this of you in the past. Do you know how much you paid in federal income taxes last year?
Yeah. Do you know where to look?
And I've had people say, well, I didn't pay. I got a refund. No, that's not a valid answer.
You overpaid.
You just got back some of the money you paid. But knowing how much to start with, the first thing, how much did I actually pay? Look at the line on your tax return, follow it down, and look at the one that says, this is your total tax.
Total tax. I think it's bolded, actually.
I think so. And if it doesn't tick you off.
Well, you know.
But it could be that you're paying less than you thought or more than you thought.
Yeah.
And it's maybe there's room to do something and make it more efficient.
You know, a lot of this stuff, as we're talking about buckets, and we do talk about it quite a bit, a lot of this stuff...
Everything starts with and comes back to buckets.
It sure does. And there's a reason we do that. And that has to do with the fact that you cannot predict, change, control anything.
The market is definitely not within
our control. The
economy,
you cannot change any of that. What you know is you need to have a certain amount of income, and you don't want that interrupted.
I want to be able to do what I want to do in retirement with the income that I want, regardless of what the market is or is not doing at that time.
And that's what Buckets aims to accomplish. And we have this, I've been telling you about this, and we've got a lot of people asking, and man, boy, this has been blowing up. The Bucket Strategy Retirement Guide, Tailored Financial Strategy for Your Retirement. We have this here at Lucia Cap.
It's an overview. It's an educational piece, an overview.
It is? Yep.
To help you understand how this works and how it helps you avoid the negativity that the market can bring to you.
Yes.
But also helps you understand how to take advantage of the positivity that the market can bring to you from time to time.
And it's how the folks at Lucia Capital Group put together their bucket strategy. And if you'd like to know all this stuff, here's what you do. You go to luciacap.com. You'll see the search bar in the upper right. Type in bucket strategy and you will see the guide. It should be the first thing that comes up. You download that guide. It's free, of course. You download it. It's a PDF. I think it's roughly...
It was 18, wasn't it?
How many pages is it? It's about 20 pages, maybe a little more. But the good thing is, and I've said this each time, but I want you folks to know, if you just want to know the basics, how does it work, give me the overview, and then I'll worry about the rest later, you can read the first couple of pages, and you've got it. There's a good explanation. And then you say, oh, I want to learn more. Keep going as deep as you want into it, and it'll explain buckets, how you can do an alternative bucket. You can do
a protected income
bucket. Yeah.
And if you want to see how it applies to you and your specific situation, give us a call.
Look at you. 800-644-1150. You said you've never been host.
I think I was once back in the 90s, and it
didn't turn out too well.
It didn't go well.
People think they can do this, you know? And then when they turn the microphone on or the camera's on, it hits them that they can't. Well, it's like people trying to do what you do, you know?
It takes
putting
time.
These buckets. You really need to have somebody who's experienced. 800-644-1150, the folks at Lucia Capital Group. They work with Professor Plum. Professor, you help. You guys all work together as a team.
Well, that's what I was saying. I know a decent amount on this, but that's why I like to have somebody else when I'm doing a complex plan like that. Somebody else's eyes look at it to see if there's, and everybody in our office does this. We go back and forth with each other and say, okay, what about this? What about this? We get together every week and we talk about different things that have come up and what to use, taxes that are coming up. You know, the distributions, the change in the RMDs was a big topic for years, and people are finally, you know, getting to a point where, okay, got it down. Yeah.
It just takes time. Give them a call. Talk to them if you need to know anything about buckets. You want to be bucketized. I think you need to do that. 800-644-1150. As you heard in this episode, Professor Plum knows his stuff, as do the other advisors there. You can go online at luciacap.com. I mentioned that. Get that bucket strategy guide. Download it. Take a look at it. Read it at your leisure. Read some now. Read some later. Get as much information as you want out of it. Type in bucket strategy in the search bar. You can get that. Also find other videos. You got other podcast episodes, blog posts. It's all there at luciacap.com. Subscribe, would you, to this podcast? Apple Podcasts, Spotify, either one of them. Subscribe, listen to every episode, and you will, can't guarantee that you're going to be 100% knowledgeable, but I sure think I can say with confidence that you'll know more.
You'll learn something.
I do. Every time. Every time we talk, I learn something a little bit more that I didn't know, which I appreciate. Let's see. Does that cover it all? For today. I don't have a topic for next week yet.
Well, give us a call.
Tell us what you want to talk about. No, we have some ideas. We'll get to that. But my thanks to you, Professor Plum, once again.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure having you here. For Professor Rick Plum, CFP Professional, I'm your podcast host, Johnny Dean. Thanks so much for listening. We will, of course, talk to you again next week. The information provided should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice and is not specific to any individual's personal circumstance. Each taxpayer should seek independent advice from a tax professional based on his or her individual circumstances. Different types of investments and/or investment strategies involve varying levels of risk, and there can be no assurance that any specific investment or investment strategy will be profitable for a client's or prospective client's portfolio. Thus, investments may result in a loss of principal. An asset allocation strategy does not ensure a profit or protect against loss. These materials are provided for general information and educational purposes based upon publicly available information from sources believed to be reliable. We cannot assure the accuracy or completeness of these materials. The information in these materials may change at any time and without notice. Examples cited or hypothetical are for illustrative purposes only, are not guaranteed, and subject to potential federal and state law amendments. There is no guarantee that you will achieve the results discussed or illustrated. An asset allocation strategy does not ensure a profit or protect against loss. Traditional IRA account owners have considerations to make before performing a Roth IRA conversion. These primarily include income tax consequences on the converted amount in the year of conversion, withdrawal limitations from a Roth IRA, and income limitations for future contributions to a Roth IRA. In addition, if you're required to take a required minimum distribution in the year you convert, you must do so before converting 2002 or Roth IRA. IRA withdrawals will be taxed at ordinary income rates. Withdrawals prior to age 59 and a half may also be subject to a 10% penalty tax. Roth IRA distributions in principal from a Roth IRA are tax-free. However, any earnings will be taxed at ordinary income rates, and a 10% penalty tax will apply if withdrawn prior to age 59 and a half or within 5 years of the date the Roth IRA was established, whichever is longer. 401k plan information used is obtained from sources believed to be reliable as of the current date, but no representation is made as to its accuracy and completeness. Benefits may be subject to change at your employer's, the governing pensions, or benefit organization's discretion. The information provided is based on current laws, which are subject to change at any time. Lucia Capital Group is not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any government agency. Social Security rules can be complex. For more information about Social Security benefits, visit the SSA website at ssa.gov or call 800-772-1213 to speak with an SSA representative. Rick Plum is a registered representative with and securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor and member FINRA SIPC. The investment professionals are affiliated with LPL Financial and are conducting business using the name Lucia Capital Group, a separate entity from LPL Financial.